Way to Wealth by Benjamin Franklin.
Courteous listener, I have heard that nothing gives an author so great pleasure as to find his works respectfully quoted by others. Judge, then, how much I must have been gratified by an incident I am going to relate to you. I stopped my horse lately where a great number of people were collected at an auction of merchants' goods. The hour of sale not being come, they were conversing on the badness of the times, and one of the company called to a plain, clean old man with white locks, "Pray, Father Abraham, what think you of these times? Will not those heavy taxes quite ruin the country? How shall we ever be able to pay them? What would you advise us to do?" Father Abraham stood up and replied, "If you would have my advice, I will give it to you in short. For a word to the wise is enough, as poor Richard says." They joined in desiring him to speak his mind, and gathering round him, he proceeded as follows. "Friend," says he, "the taxes are indeed very heavy, and if those laid on by the government were the only ones we had to pay, we might more easily discharge them. But we have many others, and much more grievous to some of us. We are taxed twice as much by our idleness, three times as much by our pride, and four times as much by our folly. And from these taxes, the commissioners cannot ease or deliver us by allowing an abatement. However, let us hearken to good advice, and something may be done for us. God helps them that helps themselves, as poor Richard says." It would be thought a hard government that should tax its people one-tenth part of their time to be employed in its service. But idleness taxes many of us much more. Sloth, by bringing on diseases, absolutely shortens life. Sloth, like rust, consumes faster than labor wears, while the used key is always bright, as poor Richard says. But dost thou love life? Then do not squander time, for that is the stuff life is made of, as poor Richard says. How much more than is necessary do we spend at sleep, forgetting that the sleeping fox catches no poultry, and that there will be sleeping enough in the grave, as poor Richard says. If time be of all things the most precious, wasting time must be, as poor Richard says, the greatest prodigality, since, as he elsewhere tells us, lost time is never found again, and what we call time enough always proves little enough. Let us then up and be doing, and doing to the purpose, so by diligence shall we do more with less perplexity. Sloth makes all things difficult, but industry all things easy, and he that riseth late must trot all day, and scarce overtake his business at night, while laziness travels so slowly that poverty soon overtakes him. Drive thy business, let not that drive thee, and early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise, as poor Richard says. So what signifies wishing and hoping for better times? We may make these times better if we bestir ourselves. Industry need not wish, and he who lives upon hope will die fasting. There are no gains without pains. Then help hands, for I have no lands, or, if I have, they are smartly taxed. He that hath a trade hath an estate, and he that hath a calling hath an office of profit and honor, as poor Richard says. But then the trade must be worked at, and the calling well followed, and neither the estate nor the office will enable us to pay our taxes. If we are industrious, we shall never starve. For at the working man's house, hunger looks in, but dares not enter. Nor will the bailiff or the constable enter, for industry pays debts, while despair increaseth them. What though you have found no treasure, nor has any rich relation left you a legacy? Diligence is the mother of good luck, and God gives all things to industry. Then plow deep while sluggards sleep, and you shall have corn to sell and keep. Work while it is called today, for you know not how much you may be hindered tomorrow. One today is worth two tomorrows, as poor Richard says, and farther, Never leave that till tomorrow, which you can do today. If you were a servant, would you not be ashamed that a good master should catch you idle? Are you then your own master? Be ashamed to catch yourself idle when there is so much to be done for yourself, your family, your country, and your king. Handle your tools without mittens. Remember that the cat in gloves catches no mice, as poor Richard says. It is true there is much to be done, and perhaps you are weak-handed, but stick to it steadily, and you will see great effects. For constant dropping wears away stones, and by diligence and patience the mouse ate in two the cable, and little strokes fell great oaks. Methinks I heard some of you say, must a man afford himself no leisure? I will tell thee, my friend, what poor Richard says. Employ thy time well. If thou meanest to gain leisure, since thou art not sure of a minute, throw not away an hour. Leisure is the time for doing something useful. This leisure the diligent man will obtain, but the lazy man never. For a life of leisure and a life of laziness are two things. Many without labor would live by their wits only, but they break for want of stock, whereas industry gives comfort and plenty and respect. Fly pleasures, and they will follow you. The diligent spinner has a large shift. And now I have a sheep and a cow, and everybody bids me good morrow. But with our industry, we must likewise be steady, settled, and careful, and oversee our own affairs with our own eyes, and not trust too much to others. For, as poor Richard says, I never saw an oft-removed tree, nor yet an oft-removed family, that throve so well as those that settled be. And again, three removes are as bad as a fire. And again, keep thy shop, and thy shop will keep thee. And again, if you would have your business done, go. If not, send. And again, he that by the plow would thrive, himself must either hold or drive. And again, the eye of the master will do more work than both his hands. And again, want of care does more damage than want of knowledge. And again, not to oversee workmen is to leave them your purse open. Trusting too much to others' care is the ruin of many, for in the affairs of this world men are saved not by faith, but by the want of it. But a man's own care is profitable, for if you would have a faithful servant, and one that you like, serve yourself. A little neglect may breed great mischief. For want of a nail the shoe was lost. For want of a shoe the horse was lost, and for want of a horse the rider was lost, being overtaken and slain by the enemy, all for the want of a little care about a horseshoe nail. So much for industry, my friends, and attention to one's own business. But to these we must add frugality, if we would make our industry more certainly successful. A man may, if he knows not how to save as he gets, keep his nose all his life to the grindstone and die not worth a groat at last. A fat kitchen maketh a lean will, and many estates are spent in the getting, since women for tea forsook spinning and knitting, and men for punch forsook hewing and splitting. If you would be wealthy, think of saving as well as getting. The Indies have not made Spain rich, because her outgoes are much greater than her incomes. Away, then, with your expensive follies, and you will not have then so much reason to complain of hard times, heavy taxes, and chargeable families, for women and wine, game and deceit, make the wealth small and the want great. And farther, what maintains one vice would bring up two children. You may think, perhaps, that a little tea, or a little punch now and then, diet a little more costly, clothes a little finer, and a little entertainment now and then can be no great matter. But remember, many a little makes a mickle. Beware of little expenses. A small leak will sink a great ship, as poor Richard says. And again, who dainties love shall beggars prove. And moreover, fools make feasts, and wise men eat them. Here you are all got together at this sale of fineries and knick-knacks. You call them goods. But if you do not take care, they will prove evils to some of you. You expect they will be sold cheap, and perhaps they may be bought for less than they cost. But if you have no occasion for them, they must be dear to you. Remember what Poor Richard says, "Buy what thou hast no need of, and ere long thou shalt sell thy necessaries." And again, "At a great penny worth, pause a while." He means that perhaps the cheapest is apparent only, and not real, or the bargain, by straitening thee in thy business, may do thee more harm than good. For in another place, he says, many have been ruined by buying good pennyworths. And again, it is foolish to lay out money in a purchase of repentance. And yet this folly is practiced every day at auctions, for want of minding the almanac. Many a one, for the sake of finery on the back, have gone with a hungry belly, and half-starved their families. Silks and satins, scarlets and velvets, put out the kitchen fire, as Poor Richard says. These are not the necessities of life. They can scarcely be called the conveniences. And yet only because they look pretty, how many want to have them? By these and other extravagances, the genteel are reduced to poverty and forced to borrow of those whom they formerly despised, but who through industry and frugality have maintained their standing, in which case it appears plainly that a ploughman on his legs is higher than a gentleman on his knees, as Poor Richard says. Perhaps they have had a small estate left them, which they knew not the getting of. They think, it is day and never will be night, that a little to be spent out of so much is not worth minding. But always taking out of the meal tub and never putting in soon comes to the bottom, as Poor Richard says, and then, when the well is dry, they know the worth of water. But this they might have known before. If they had taken this advice, if you would know the value of money, go and try to borrow some. For he that goes a-borrowing goes a-sorrowing, as Poor Richard says, and indeed, so does he that lends to such people when he goes to get it again. Poor Dick further advises and says, "Fond pride of dress is sure a very curse. Ere fancy you consult, consult your purse." And again, "Pride is as loud a beggar as want, and a great deal more saucy. When you have bought one fine thing, you must buy 10 more, that your appearance may be all of a piece." But Poor Dick says, "It is easier to suppress the first desire than to satisfy all that follow it." And it is truly folly for the poor to ape the rich, for the frog to swell in order to equal the ox. Vessels large may venture more, but little boats should keep near shore. It is, however, a folly soon punished, for, as Poor Richard says, pride that dines on vanity sups on contempt. Pride breakfasted with plenty, dined with poverty, and supped with infamy. And after all, of what use is this pride of appearance for which so much is suffered? It cannot promote health, nor ease pain. It makes no increase of merit in the person. It creates envy. It hastens misfortune. But what madness it must be to run in debt for those superfluities. We are offered by the terms of this sale 6 months' credit. And that, perhaps, has induced some of us to attend it, because we cannot spare the ready money, and hope now to be fine without it. But, ah, think what you would do when you run into debt. You give to another power over your liberty. If you cannot pay on time, you will be ashamed to see your creditor. You will be in fear when you speak to him. You will make poor, pitiful, sneaking excuses, and by degrees come to lose your veracity, and sink into base downright lying. For the second vice is lying, the first is running in debt, as Poor Richard says, and again, to the same purpose, lying rides upon debt's back. Whereas a free-born Englishman ought not to be ashamed nor afraid to see or speak to any man living, but poverty often deprives a man of all spirit and virtue. It is hard for an empty bag to stand upright. What would you think of that prince or that government who should issue an edict forbidding you to dress like a gentleman or gentlewoman on pain of imprisonment or servitude? Would you not say you were free, have a right to dress as you please, and that such an edict would be a breach to your privileges and such a government tyrannical? And yet you are about to put yourself under that tyranny when you run in debt for such dress. Your creditor has authority, at his pleasure, to deprive you of your liberty by confining you in jail for life, or by selling you for a servant, if you should not be able to pay him. When you have got your bargain, you may, perhaps, think a little of payment, but as poor Richard says, creditors have better memories than debtors. Creditors are a superstitious sect, great observers of set days and times. The day comes round before you are aware, and the demand is made before you are able to satisfy it, or, if you bear your debt in mind, the term which at first seems so long will, as it lessens, appear extremely short. Time will seem to have added wings to his heels as well as to his shoulders. Those have a short Lent who owe money to be paid at Easter. At present, perhaps you may think yourselves in thriving circumstances, and that you can bear a little extravagance without injury. But for age and want, save while you may, no morning sun lasts a whole day. Gain may be temporary and uncertain, but ever while you live, expense is constant and certain. And it is easier to build two chimneys than to keep one in fuel, as poor Richard says. So, rather to go to bed supperless than rise in debt. Get what you can, and what you get hold. 'Tis the stone that will turn all your lead into gold. And when you have got the philosopher's stone, sure you will no longer complain of bad times, or the difficulty of paying taxes. This doctrine, my friends, is reason and wisdom. But after all, do not depend too much upon your own industry and frugality and prudence, though excellent things, for they all may be blasted without the blessing of heaven. And therefore, ask the blessing humbly, and be not uncharitable to those that at present seem to want it, but comfort and help them. Remember, Job suffered, and was afterwards prosperous. And now to conclude, experience keeps a dear school, but fools will learn in no other, as poor Richard says, and scarce in that. For it is true, we may give advice, but we cannot give conduct. However, remember this, they that will not be counseled cannot be helped, and farther, that if you will not hear reason, she will surely rap your knuckles, as poor Richard says. Thus the old gentleman ended his harangue. The people heard it, and approved the doctrine, and immediately practiced the contrary, just as if it had been a common sermon, for the auction opened, and they began to buy extravagantly. I found the good man had thoroughly studied my almanac, and digested all I had dropped on these topics during the course of 25 years. The frequent mention he made of me must have tired anyone else, but my vanity was wonderfully delighted with it, though I was conscious that not a tenth part of the wisdom was my own, which he ascribed to me, but rather the gleanings that I had made of the sense of all ages and nations. However, I resolved to be the better for the echo of it, and though I had at first determined to buy stuff for a new coat, I went away, resolved to wear my old one a little longer. Listener, if thou wilt do the same, thy profit will be as great as mine. I am, as ever, thine to serve thee. Richard Saunders.